Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real, confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Happy New Year, or I should say Happy You Year, right, Dr. Joanne?
Yes, because we have such a wonderful event coming up with the Happy You Year and Motivation Marathon and you and I and so many wonderful speakers.
Yeah, it's very exciting. But before we get to that event, we've got to introduce you a little bit here. I feel like I know you already, so I'll give a formal introduction, though. With us today, we have Dr. Joanne White, a really, really, really neat woman. She's an international author and speaker, a certified professional coach, and a business consultant. And she specializes in transformation, innovation, and energy medicine. And you have a new, we'll go through your book today. You have a new book out. It's called Mastering the Art of Success. It's called Mastering the Art of Success. That's the new one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I got the title right. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said it's perfect. You got it right.
Okay, so the new book is out. I understand you just got a shipment of the new book.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk about that. Isn't that exciting when your book comes in the mail?
It's very exciting, and I'm actually still looking at boxes because I haven't unpacked all the boxes yet.
It's the neatest feeling, though, when you grab one of those out of the box and you're like, look what I did. Look at how many people I'm going to help, or look at how many people are going to read this. Doing books is just it's a blast. I love writing books. So, all right. So what we're going to focus on today is creating life and career success. And this is one thing I love about you. You talk about your inner foundation and how it has to be sturdy and capable of navigating change, unexpected change, roadblocks, people, things like that. You are about not letting things rock your world.
Well, I wasn't always like that when I was younger, so I learned, as we probably all have, from our mistakes and from our own growth, and so that's part of the process, I think, is learning that you really, in order to move forward and to help other people, like you and I both love to do, Elizabeth, you have to feel that sense of inner balance, and you have to be able to create that foundation, and the foundation is often a foundation of emotional resilience and self-motivation. Sometimes I'm amazed that I work with many people who are entrepreneurs and want to be in business for themselves, and they don't seem to have the motivation, and I think that's key to moving ahead. So, yes, you have to make sure that you have that inner foundation to be able to help other people, and also so that you don't get off balance by other people who come in some kind of tirade and have their own stuff pouring out all over, because sometimes that happens with people. And you have to make sure that you feel confident and that you can be resilient. And that's one of my five R's of success is resiliency. And that you can really know when something happens that you have the inner tools to handle the changes, handle the upsets, handle the unexpected things that happen in your life. Because let's face it, that's change is inevitable, and life is not always fixed, and there's always going to be something that, even though the best laid plans, there's always going to be something that doesn't seem to work the way you had intended it. And if you can't be flexible and you can't steer along that course that's sort of been given to you, even though you had something else in mind, then your success is going to suffer as a result.
Now, for people listening, I want to direct them to your website so that, you know, when they leave this call, they can find you. So it's drjoannewhite.com. And let me spell that for you. It's drjoannewhite.com. So drjoannewhite.com. For somebody listening on the call today, can you help us learn how to master our own success? Can we have some takeaways from the call today so people really leave listening here for an hour that, you know, they've got, you know, the tools to help them be successful from you?
Yes. I think something that's really, really important is, well, I mentioned the resiliency and the flexibility. I think what's important, particularly in today, I was at a seminar and I was a speaker yesterday, and we were talking about health and wellness and in terms of personal and business health and wellness, because they seem to go together. And one of the Yes, they really do. And one of the things that I talked about was the ability to recognize that you, all of us, are responsible. We're responsible for our own businesses. That's another one of those R's for success. We're responsible for our choices, and that we do have choices, and that it's so important to realize that when we're making choices, we have to do so in a manner that fits who we are, that fits our direction, and that oftentimes we really may need to research the information before we just decide to go in one direction. But I'm often amazed, Elizabeth, how some people feel that they don't have the choices and that they don't have options. And I think that what that does is it doesn't allow people to think big and to think in many different directions. So I think success is you have to know that you are responsible and that you have choices and that you need to make educated choices to get where you want to go. And I'm also going to say something that most people talk about, and that is something that about success is you have to know where you want to go. So you have to set goals, you have to have a direction, and you have to really be very specific about what that direction is. And I do a lot with visualization, so I think envisioning it and working with it on many different levels, including on the subconscious level and with visualization and in many other ways, I think it's so important to really help us move forward. And I also think,
now,
Elizabeth, go ahead.
What did you say?
No, go ahead. I'm waiting for, you.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you you said something about people feeling like they don't have choices. There's something else you said. People feel like they don't have choices and something else. What would you say?
Options.
Choices and options. Now, is part of that like learning how to get out of your own way?
Yeah. Well, most of what gets in our way is we get in our own way. So
yeah.
So when I talk about the success demons is one of the things we were going to talk about today, they're mostly internal. They're those feelings that, oh, we have no options, okay? Oh, I'm stuck. Oh, this happened and I have no way out of it. So without thinking that we have options or thinking that we don't deserve, or our own doubts or even our own fears can get in the way to really interfere with our own success. So, yes, we get in our way more often than not. And then sometimes what happens is once we get in our own way, we get stuck and we don't know how to get out of it. And I think then it becomes this vicious cycle of poor me, oh me, how I'm stuck and then I'm more stuck. And then we get in this little rut and we don't see that there are different avenues and we can take a different approach. And that's why that flexibility piece is so very important, because business changes, the world changes, financial opportunities shift. Business is not the way it was 30 years ago, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. And so I do a lot of work with innovation and with entrepreneurs. And so working with them, it's about, okay, so we have to look at now and plan for your success now, but we also have to go take a little bit of a mind journey down into the future in terms of what if everything is different. How are you going to define your success then, and how are you going to have the products, the direction, whatever it is that you need to be on top of your game.
Now, how do you do that with people? How do you, to me right now, when you say all that, and I'm sure to other people, my head starts kind of spinning. Like, oh, man, that's a lot of information. And it feels a little overwhelming. So I can imagine being in a room and trying to coach, you know, let's say you're in a room with 50 people and they're trying to envision where they're going and all these different things, and you have 50 different directions. How do you teach people what you're talking about?
Basically, you have to have a plan. So
okay.
Oftentimes the plan is, okay, here's a plan with I at least when I work with people one-on-one or in groups, we develop plans, and I have a whole outline, and I'll be happy to send that to you for our listeners. I have a whole outline of what that strategic plan is. So as part of the plan, you also need to have a couple of different, and I ask people to develop three, and I do that with them, three alternative strategies to utilize with that plan. So, for instance...
Oh, I like that. That is a great idea. Kind of like, here's what I really want to do, but here's the fallback.
Right. Here's what I really want to do, and here's the fallback, and here's the other fallback, because I think working with three, otherwise we're really on overwhelm. So we have two alternates and one very strong path. But the alternates need to be closely aligned with our original idea and our original intention, unless things change so drastically that we really have to come up with a new product line, let's say, or a totally different new idea. But I think the way to not be overwhelmed is to do just that. And I tell a story often that's such a true story about when I was going for my PhD program, and I had to do research. And I'm not the greatest researcher, but that was part of getting my PhD. So you had to essentially write a book. But before you wrote a book, you had to create a research idea. You had to then decide, you had to get it approved. You had to have many different steps to how you were going to carry out the research, to what was going to happen in the research, to the different research questions, to who was going to be involved. And so I ended up having about...
Sounds like you earned that.
Well, it was frightening at first. Thank you. I think I did, because I was so overwhelmed. And when I work with people with business plans, we're not doing it to the extent of what I did, because I ended up with 100 steps. That's a lot of steps to work with. And I sat there for days, and I was immobilized. And I said, I don't know how I can do this. This is ridiculous. And the way that helped me, and which is part of, I think, helping people, is, okay, let's face it, all those 100 steps are not going to be handled in one day or even 2 days or even 2 weeks or even 2 months, right? Usually.
Yeah, it's like a New Year's resolution almost. It's like, let's
right.
say you, like, let's say 5 days ago you said, okay, this is the year I'm going to run for, you know, president of the United States, and you know, or whatever.
Good
you know,
luck. Right?
Good luck. You know, it's absolutely part of what you're saying too is attainable. You know,
it has to be attainable, right? So what I did was I took those 100 steps, and I put 5 steps. In terms sequentially, 5 steps that I had to do first, and that's all I looked at. I knew that I had all that other information because that was important, but I did want to overwhelm myself and get myself into such a tither that, oh, my God, I can't do this. It's like too much, because it is too much and it is too overwhelming. And, Elizabeth, I tell you, I sat immobilized for about a week and a half. And
I would have been there longer than that.
But I wanted to get out of there. So, and I also had a deadline in terms of when I had to turn in what my proposal was. So it was more involved in that. So once I was able to get through the 5 steps, which was much more manageable, and you were talking about manageable, and that's the key here. It has to be manageable. And you have to think about the steps that really that are concrete so that you can handle them. And oftentimes in building a business or a strategic plan, I ask people to also list who are going to be your support system? And you may not even know what that is or who that is, right? But maybe do some guessing here. And also, let's anticipate, even though it may never, ever happen, let's anticipate what may be some of the roadblocks or some of the interferences. Because if we can do that, we can come up with some strategies initially so that we're not just so overwhelmed and feeling that dejected or whatever, that something came in the midst that was so unexpected. Now, that may happen anyway, but I like people to feel that they've planned for some mishaps. It may never happen.
I've got you put in motion. Would you like to hear this?
Sure.
Okay. On, I don't know, probably about 10 days ago, I said, okay, family, I've got to lose the other 20 pounds now. Because I've got 20 more pounds, and I have a thyroid problem, and I gained a little bit of weight, and I've been on a slow, steady climb downward. And you talked about who your support system is. Well, my support system, for example, and to be successful, I had to say to my family, and you can make this all pretty in a minute here, but I had to say to my family, okay, guys, because there's five guys in my house, actually six now, and I said, I've got to lose these 20 pounds, which means, what do you think about 2012, us all eating healthier?
Oh.
Let's not buy Doritos at the store. Let's not buy cupcakes. Let's not buy, you know, all these things. Or if we do, let's eat them in moderation and, you know, and things like that. And what do you think about something like that as far as that being a support system to you to help you be successful?
I think that's a great idea because the people that are around you that love you, that care about you, really for the most part, and there are some people that don't, and I'll give you one of those stories in a minute, but those people want you to succeed. And so if they can make some alterations, which may be a little bit difficult and trying for them, initially they'll get to it, but it will also benefit them, so be it. When people want to create an exercise program, Elizabeth, I say, is there somebody, and they have trouble doing it, and they have trouble motivating themselves, I said, do you have a friend or a family member that you can sort of pair with to do those walks or to go to the gym with? Because they can be your support system, they can be your cheerleader. So I think what you did was a fantastic idea, and certainly in line with what we're talking about is to really align your allies to you and create that support system so that there are people there that can help you. And what you're talking about is they also benefit as well. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, in fact, our 12-year-old said, you know, I don't, and he kind of, it was interesting because we were sitting there having New Year's Eve dinner, I think it was. No, it was Christmas Eve dinner that we were having.
Right.
And he brought up the conversation and he said, you know, in 2012, Dad, because Dad does breakfast, he said, I don't really want to eat waffles anymore. And my husband's eyes kind of, he got surprised, his eyes widened, and my son said, no, I really want to do more along the lines of what Mom's doing with the healthy shakes in the morning. Would that be okay with you, Dad, if I didn't eat waffles in the morning? And
wow.
Then it got everybody talking about weight and what we eat and everything. And it was just such an interesting conversation.
But you know what's so fantastic about that, Elizabeth? Look what that opened up, because it sounds like your son was a little bit hesitant about Dad's approval to make that change. Maybe Dad's the one that makes the waffles. I don't know.
He's the waffle king.
Okay. So there he was. He felt a little bit empowered because of your resolution and was able to find his voice to make that happen and to bring that up. And there, and once he found his voice, look what happened. Other family members chimed in and also wanted to get on the bandwagon. So I think that went tremendously well, and it opened up. You know, sometimes people feel that, particularly in a family, people feel that if I go off course from what everybody else is doing, I'm going to be ridiculed or it's not going to be accepted or I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. And so it was presented in such a way that it was very supportive to each family person. And I don't think your husband was offended. It sounded
not
like it was handled so beautifully.
Yeah, he was thrilled with it. But can we take some of the things that you're talking about success-wise and make them related to, do we have to make them related to everything all business, or can we keep going on this topic? Because I think as popular in our chat room, we've got some people in there trying to lose weight and things like that. Can we kind of teeter back and forth between business and weight loss a little bit?
I think they're so related. I think that the success goals that I talk about are for life and for business, so we can certainly do that, because I think that, again, that's part of our flexibility. If I said to you, no, I'm not being flexible.
I'm going to have to hang
right?
up.
So, sure. But
I'm kidding. But, you know, for everybody listening and in the chat room, I wanted to just go back a little bit, because Dr. Joanne, I call you Dr. Joanne, but Dr. Joanne White, she's been on everything. I don't know if you guys know who we actually have on the phone here with us today, giving us all this wonderful advice, but she's, you know, we're best ever you. She's been on, like, CNN and More and Good Housekeeping and WebMD, and she's been on, like, every major TV network and everything. So people, listen up as she's given us this advice, because she's a really valued resource in, I think, pretty much globally now, aren't you? It's not just the United States. Are you branching out globally?
I am. I actually am global, and thank you so much for saying that. I actually got an invitation. I have to check my email.
Hit the horn. It's all right. Keep going.
No, I'm not sure yet, so I have to see if it's on the level, but I got an invitation to be a keynote speaker at this college in London, and they said that they looked at my bio and information, and all I need to do is say yes.
So, that's so neat.
So
make sure you say yes, because half of everything terrifying is just showing up. You know that, right?
Right, I know that. Well, I want to check it out first, but it's nice because they're also saying that they'll pay the airfare and the hotel fee, because oftentimes they'll say, come and spend $5,000 and we'll give you
your own
a few hundred credits.
Yeah.
So this is very...
the real deal.
Yeah, so we'll see, and hopefully that'll be great. So, yes, let's talk about how success needs to be for personal goals as well as professional goals. And let's even look, when I'm talking about the five R's to success, you want to apply it to weight or to just personal goals, whatever you like.
Yeah, just personal goals, and we can take away and put it into the weight. I'm going to listen up here, too, because I think this will help me get the 20 pounds off, too.
Okay, so let's talk about, firstly, I talked about responsibility, the five R's to success. You have to think about taking charge. So whether it's weight, whether it's exercise, whether it's feeling better about yourself, whether it's being more positive, whether it's being self-motivating, and I can go on and on and on and on. Whatever that personal goal is, you need to take responsibility for it. Oftentimes we blame so much else and so many other people for what's happening to us. And really, most of the time, we get in our own way, as we talked about earlier. So I think taking responsibility, and people could go, oh, but taking responsibility, believe it or not, Elizabeth, has a lot of freedom attached to it, because within responsibility is the responding, the response. So it's the way that we approach a particular challenge, the way that we approach a personal or a professional goal is so very important. You can approach a goal, let's say, of wanting to lose weight with a sense of optimism, okay, with a sense of, you know what, like you said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take charge, and I'm going to lay out the steps that I need, and I'm going to align other support people in my life to articulate it so that people know exactly what I'm about and where I want to go. And I'm going to get on track with that, but I'm going to take the first steps. I'm in charge. And oftentimes that is the first step, is being in charge of whatever it is, whatever goal, and recognizing that your behavior, your attitude, how you approach it. Are you approaching the goal with misgivings? Are you approaching the goal with, you know what, I have this goal, but it's so unattainable, I'm never going to get there? And a lot of people who deal with weight loss talk about, oh, you know, I want to lose 20, 30, 40 pounds, but I'll never do it. So right away, they set themselves up for failure because they get in their own way with a negative belief system that says, oh, I'd love to do this, but it's impossible.
Yeah, you know, I like what you just said, too, because responsibility is key. There's nobody there who's responsible for yourself but you.
Right. And once you take that, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, for example, if you're sitting there eating a whole pizza, it's not, you know, for example, if I go have five pieces of pizza, that's not my husband's fault. It's mine.
Right. And you could say, well, you know, he bought the pizza and he put it in the refrigerator and he shouldn't have bought the pizza. But where was your self-control when you opened up the refrigerator door and there it was and you could have said, no, thank you. You know what I also do? I'm working with a few clients right now who do want to lose weight. And a lot of what I'm finding is a lot of the eating becomes very automatic eating. And I'm working with one client who's religious, and I said to, and she loves junk food, so she'll, and she has young kids, so she'll go out and she'll eat the food, eat the cookies and the whatever that's supposed to be for the kids, and then go out and replace it more for the kids, and then eat that again, and then have to replace it, and go on and on and on and on. So I said to her, when you're eating like that, because it's really very sort of unconscious eating and it's kind of angry eating and it gets into that cycle. Instead of doing that so automatically, what I want you to do is I want you to pause, and you've got to work within people's system too. And I said, I want you to say a prayer before
you put anything
in your mouth. Because it's, again, it's, we're talking about responsibility, but then I'm talking about your relationship to whatever your goal is. So her relationship to the food is so automatic that they're really, the relationship is like, okay, I'm not even going to pay attention to it. I'm doing it so automatically, and I'm not going to. But so that sense of awareness is missing. So if she stops and does her little prayer even before she puts a cookie in her mouth or that pizza that you're it will make a difference. Now, for some people who are uncomfortable doing a prayer, what about if you just stop for a minute and take a few breaths, or if you decide to eat something, even if it's a cookie, and you decide to do it without any other distraction, and sit there and really get into eating that cookie, which means that really getting into the sensory experience of eating, how it tastes, where you feel it in your mouth, what the texture is, and that really has people slow down, so it's not like gorging themselves, but they have to slow down and really be in awareness and in relationship with whatever it is that they're doing. So I'm talking about weight loss right now and eating, but the same thing can apply to anything. So let's say it's about another personal goal or a business goal. I work with somebody who wanted to get out of corporate and wanted to go into business for herself. And I said, okay, let's talk about what's going on here. And most of it obviously was fear for her to take that leap of faith because she didn't think what she could do. And I said, what's your relationship to being on your own? What comes up with, what are the feelings, what are the doubts, what are the happy, optimistic moments as well in terms of envisioning what that would be like? So we actually formulated what that relationship with that goal would be, and I think that's important because that's part of the whole ownership piece, whole responsibility piece.
Ownership is huge. I love this. I mean, I think if you take that and apply it to really anything, taking responsibility for yourself is a huge piece of the puzzle.
I think that's a lot of it. Yes, you're right. It's so very important. And oftentimes, like I said, that's the first thing we don't want to do. We want to put the blame on everybody else. Why did my husband buy all that pizza? He could have known that I didn't want to eat it and decided to buy salad instead. Right?
Yeah.
But only he had known. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I think that's pretty pretty brilliant. Okay, so what's the second one for the R's? What's the second R?
Well, the second one was that whole relationship that I'm talking about, the responsibility, the relationship. And the third one that I'm talking about is resilience. And when I mean resilience, I mean that you are able, you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, that you're able to have the inner strength to wake up the next morning, even though, and again, I'm going to talk about weight, okay? To wake up the next morning, even though you, last night, you cheated on your diet plan and you pigged out on cookies or whatever, and you wake up the next morning, and rather than saying, okay, it's a lost cause, forget it, I can't do it, and just go back to old ways, you have the inner strength, the resilience to say, you know what, okay, so I made a mistake, I'm human, it happens, but today is a new day, and today is the day that I'm going to get right back on course. And even though there may be challenges that happen, even though the day is not going well or there are curveballs, I'm going to have inner strength, have resilience to handle whatever comes my way, and to recommit to my goal. Because let's face it, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect, I know we're not perfect, and I see myself having goals, and oftentimes I don't always stay aligned with them. But if I continue to stay out of alignment with it, then I'm not going to reach my goal. But if I say, okay, so I made a mistake, so I'm human, it's okay, I'm not going to beat myself up anymore, I'm going to do whatever it is I need to do to get on track, back on track, and really take responsibility for my goal and sort of reformulate that relationship with my goal and say yes to it again.
That's my can of worms one, because I could go in so many different directions with questions with this one that I'm not sure I want to go there. I may just leave it or maybe not a little bit. What do you want to do? Do you want to leave resilience alone and just let it be what it is?
I'm not sure. What do you mean that so many different directions?
There's so many things that you could talk about with respect to resilience and maybe like why people are and why people aren't. In other words, you know, some people wake up in the morning and some people can't even get out of bed.
Well,
you know,
but those are the inner demons that we were talking about, that I talk about, the inner demons that interfere with us moving forward. And let's face it, let's talk about it a little bit, because I think it's important, because that's what defeats us, and that's what keeps us away from following through. So let's say you do wake up and a morning and you can't get out of bed.
So you're just miserable. Let's take it a step further. You got out of bed, but you are in the mirror and you're crying, going, oh my God, I've done that before after pregnancy. You know, I've just been like, things are great and everything, but oh my God, I've gained 80 pounds. I'm in tears kind of thing. You know, what is in the way of success there?
Well, what's in the way is the judgment. I think we're tougher on ourselves and we're more judgmental about us than we are of somebody else. And I always say to people, we'll talk to you.
You have
a child, okay, who came home from school and failed a test, because this happened to me, and I'll even use me as an example. I didn't fail a test, but I didn't get a great grade. And when I was in elementary school, and I remember coming home with tears. Oh, I messed up. I got a 70, right? I mean, I didn't fail. I passed, but I wasn't used to getting a low grade, and so I was demoralized. I was miserable. And my mother said, "Did you try your best?" I said, yeah.
You know what? That is such a great lesson. I remember doing something like that myself. Being, you know, I bet you're a real high achiever as well. I can tell by, you know, who you are and things. You're a high achiever, and I was too when I was in school. And I can remember trying out for cheerleading in seventh grade. Anybody of my friends, if you're listening on the call from high school, because a lot of them do, I didn't make the cheerleading team in seventh grade. I mean, and I was a gymnast. I was a competitive gymnast. I was everything. And, I mean, I did not make the team. I did not make cheerleading that year. And I came home crying because I was not used to not making things. You know what I mean? I was not not getting good grades and not doing this and that. My mom said the same thing. Did you try your best?
So
I had.
Think,
Isn't that interesting?
But that really turned it around for me. And so I think what we need to do with ourselves is to be that loving, supportive parent a little bit and to be loving to ourselves. The goals that we have, and there's research on this, for most of the goals we have, if we have an attitude of self-forgiveness, if we have an attitude of okay, well, we're trying and we'll just try again, if we have a loving relationship with ourselves, then we're going to be more understanding and we're going to follow through. But if all we're doing, if all I'm doing after that is beating myself up, okay, all right, I can never take a test again, I'll never do well, I'll fail all my other tests, and I'm just never going to make it, and I'm never going to do well in school, and I'm never going to get to college, and I'm going to be a total failure. I mean, and that's totally a downhill, and all of that is negative self-talk. But if I say, okay, so it's one test. I'll do better next time. And maybe I need help. Maybe that was a difficult area for me. Or you know what? I ate that slice of pizza because I was feeling, I don't know what I was feeling. But I ate that slice of pizza and I really didn't want to. But you know what? I'm okay with that. It's not the end of the world. It didn't put 100 pounds on me. It's not. It doesn't make me a total failure with my goal, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm just going to get back on track, and I'm going to be more kind and more loving and more gentle with myself and get back on that plan and take responsibility again. So part of that responsibility is that self-care, that taking care of ourselves.
Women are so great at already, aren't we?
Well, we do that so much for other people, but
people.
When it comes to ourselves, hello.
Yeah, we definitely are interesting critters. I'm so glad we're having this conversation because we are so hard on ourselves, aren't we?
We definitely are, and you know what? It's time not to, and that's because we have such high expectations, and not only are they our expectations, but there are expectations that other people have about us because they see we're great at multitasking, we're great at taking care of multiple things, our children, activities, running a home, working at a job, doing what we need to do, reminding people of their dental appointments and doctor appointments, and I have one client who actually helps her husband in terms of working a job, running the household, raising children. She's also working with her husband to help him with his business and his business plan and doing all his stuff. And I'm thinking, hello, you are incredible. So we don't give ourselves enough credit.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important. And I think we need to shift. So this is a year to say, you know what? Okay, I'm not perfect. I'm not superwoman, and I don't need to be superwoman, but I need to recognize that I can take responsibility, that I could have a positive, self-affirming relationship with myself, with whatever goals I want to set forward, and I can manage and develop the inner strength to do so. And if I go off course, which I'm sure I will, so it's okay. I've got to program that and factor that into it. I'm not going to beat myself up, but I'm going to say, okay, so today was a bad day, and tomorrow's another day, and see myself through. And again, consistently keep my mind, keep my eye, and my focus on the goal. And for you, the goal is to lose those extra pounds. Right. So
yeah, I've learned. You just said a magic word for me, and one thing that I've learned that is helpful to me—it's not an R word, but it's a C word. It's consistency. That is
right.
That is one thing I have learned. As long as I am consistent, that makes me really proud of myself.
Well, that's great, and you have to reward yourself, and it's not about rewarding yourself with food. I find.
It's a smile at myself. No, I. I made a vow. My husband said, you know, slow. My husband's a little bit older than I am, and he said, you know, slow and steady will win the race. And I said, well, what does that mean? You know, and it was years ago, and when I first met him, and he said, you know, you're a very high achieving person. I can tell you, go, 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 go.
Right.
But sometimes, if you just slow down and stay consistent with some of the things you do, you'll probably be more successful long term. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Because you plow through and you go and you go and you go and yeah, it's, and I'm going to give you another C word that I think is important, and that's that sense of commitment. So if you're committed to your goal, if you're committed to yourself, if you're committed to follow through, if you're committed to what your vision is and where you see yourself and the direction, that's very important too in achieving success personally and professionally.
Now, can I ask you, is success to you money?
No.
So many people, especially when we have guys on the show sometimes, they define success as monetary. Is success monetary?
Success to me, firstly, has a lot of different aspects to it. Success is also, at the end of the day, how do I feel about myself? How do I feel about the relationships that I'm involved in? How do I feel about the relationships with my family, with my goals, with myself? How do I feel about the actions that I've taken? Do I feel that I'm living true to my values? Do I feel that I'm being authentic to who I am and to what I believe? How do I feel about what I've done and how I've expressed myself and the interactions I've had and how well I've stayed on track with things? And so success is measured in both, yes, there's monetary success, but it's not just about your bank account. I talk about success in terms of emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual, because I think success has many different aspects to it. And I think in today's world, we're all looking for different barometers of success. So it's about a sense of well-being and feeling good about our direction. We're not perfect. We may not even be at the goal, but we're moving forward, like you and your husband said, that steady pace. And we feel good about the choices that we've made. And so if I've wronged somebody today, it's like today I did. I got up on the wrong side. Somebody chastised me yesterday
really?
For something last night, late at night, and I had gotten up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was go, 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 because I was on this panel, and then I was seeing clients, and I didn't get done till like 9 o'clock, and I was chastised for something that was not my fault, and I woke up with an attitude this morning.
Uh-oh. And welcome
right?
to the best
and
ever you
usually...
show. I'm glad you checked it at the door, though.
And the coffee maker broke, and the glass splattered all over the floor. It was one of those mornings I said, oh, I wonder what today's going to bring. And this is a true story, folks. I'm not making it up. And so I didn't have my morning coffee because it was all over the floor. And so
oh,
it was the glass. And so I remember somebody called me, and I really was not very, but I was abrupt with the person who didn't deserve it. And so I got off the phone, and I'm thinking, you know, that was really that was not nice. Number one, that was not nice. Number two, that's not you. And number three, you need to apologize. Okay, so I could have gone through the whole day and at the end of the day decided, you know, okay, so I wasn't nice to that person, so what? But I immediately called the person up, and I said, I have to apologize. I'm sorry. I was having a bad day, and you are not the person to take. You're not responsible. There's that responsibility piece for how my day went, and I really need to apologize. And she said, you know, Joanne, forget it. It didn't even bother me, but it bothered me. So to me, success, part of that success is how I'm treating other people and how honest and aligned I am with my values and being a caring person that I hope I am and I think I am to really follow through with that.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. That was good. Did you get your coffee?
That's another story.
Okay, never mind. All right. I want to keep an eye on time. We probably have about 18 minutes or so left. And so we talked about responsibility, relationship, resilience. What are 4 and 5?
Well, one, I guess the one that I just talked about a little bit was right action.
Okay.
So if for example, I would have decided, okay, who cares about that person? I was having a bad day, and my day is more important than anybody else's day, and I'm more important, that whole ego piece. Right. And there are people who operate like that. And if I would not have taken the time, I think part of what's important in success, so I'm going to go back to those success measures, is also our relationship with people, how we're treating other people, and our sense of fairness. And so right action is very, very important. How we're dealing with a particular goal, are we being honest about it? Are we caring for other people in the process? If we're in business, are we doing business that is not really doing somebody else harm? Are we doing things in a responsible way so that we're really taking care of others while we're taking care of ourselves? And that's, to me, that right action piece is very, very important.
Yeah, definitely. And then the fifth one.
Fifth one is risk-taking and risk management. And this could be personally and in business. So let's say you want to achieve a goal, whatever that goal is. There may be a certain amount of risk in doing so. And let's say you want to lose 30 pounds, okay? Well, you have to think, okay, am I going to starve myself? Am I going to do it in... Right, because that's like, yeah,
that's
you're taking
useless.
A risk
I've been
with
there
your
before.
Health.
Starving yourself is absolutely useless. It's like you said, it's the consistency and the commitment and the responsibility for yourself and just
right.
Yeah,
but what that's doing is that's taking a risk that could be injurious to our health and injurious to our relationships and put us back further than moving ahead. So I talk about risk taking as well as risk management, because there are going to be risks whatever that goal is, and you have to kind of weigh what the risk is. Oftentimes, and I'll talk about this in business a little bit, oftentimes we want to move forward in a particular way, like this opportunity that's coming up that may be a possibility in the United Kingdom, in England. Okay. So I have to say, well, the risk management piece is make sure that it's on the level, make sure that it's a credible place, make sure that there's some kind of contract so that if they say, oh, we'll reimburse you for your airfare and whatever after you've done your presentation, and it never happens. So there has to be a balance between risk-taking, and people do that, you know?
Yeah, they
there
should
do, to be
they?
A balance between risk-taking and risk management, but we also have to be willing to take a risk when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah. So that, okay, so I'm going to keep us just time-wise here, and I just want to make sure we talk about your book a little bit more. It's obvious to me that you've really mastered the art of success, but that is the name of the book.
I'm still working at it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I love it when people do something like this and, you know, you break it down into something that you can actually understand and relate to. I think I've talked to you about that before. I find you very easy to listen to and understand, whereas sometimes you get people on the show with PhDs and you really have not a clue what they're talking about at all. And you leave, you know, with this head, you know, concepts and all the stuff that just don't apply to real life sometimes. Or they're hard to apply to real life unless you have a PhD as well. So I think that's neat that people can, you know, we can actually use what you're talking about in almost, I think in every aspect of your life.
I think it can be in every aspect of our lives. And the important thing is if I was talking so intellectually, and that's not who I am anyway, but if I was talking so intellectually and I really wanted to have people understand it and I was not meeting people at the place where I needed to and where they could understand it, what's the point? Because if I want to help people and I'm so involved in my head that I'm not working with my head and my heart, then I'm not really reaching people and giving them the tools that they need to succeed. So
yeah,
I'm defeating my purpose.
Do that. I think sometimes people write things like that and do things like that not to get the help not to help people, but to gain the approval of their colleagues and things like that. So there's seems like there's different people out there who do different things for different reasons, and I really love having you as a guest on the show and being part of the Motivation Marathon because, you know, you're for the real person, and you can really, I guarantee you, I haven't read your book because you just got them in the mail, but when I do read your book, I know that I'll be able to use what's in that book, so everybody listening, just it's probably going to be a great book to buy. I can already tell because I think you've just given us kind of a little bit of a rundown of some of the things that are in there. And how did you narrow? I'm just curious. How did you narrow it down from 100 to those five? What was one or two that you left out?
No, what I did was I didn't finish the story. I looked at five. When I was done with those five, I threw away the index card, and then I looked at the next five. So it wasn't that I didn't use the 100 steps because there really were 100 steps, but I couldn't look at them or handle them all at once. So I broke it down into manageable steps. So after the first five, there was another five that I was able to do consecutively, and then that made 10 steps. So then I was like 10% forward in towards my goal, and then there was another five, and that's the way I did it, just like your husband said.
Yep, bone steady wins the race. Yeah, little bites.
Right.
Did that help you?
Right.
Did that help you finish writing the book?
Yeah, because I got my PhD. It helped me do the research. It helped me formulate the program. It helped me do the proposal. It helped me do the dissertation. It helped me do it before the committee. It, you know, helped me get the research published, blah, blah. But, yes, all of it. But it helped me get out of overwhelm because it made it practical. It was like, well, okay, these five steps are very manageable. That's easy. And I can do five steps. And I can feel good about it. So now that I feel good that I've accomplished five steps, wow, I'm sure I could do another five because I just accomplished five. And then I accomplished 10. Wow, look at that. I accomplished 10 of those steps. I bet I can do five more. And on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you something, though. The five R's to success are not in my book.
Oh, no, really?
No, really. In my, I didn't.
That's what I thought was the guts of the book.
I expected to get that book and go.
Oh, there's the five R's. That's hilarious.
There's the five R's that I came up with that for, because I think they're important.
You wrote the book.
But the book is my chapter is really about the heart and soul of leadership. And so I have a whole model, and maybe we'll do that another time, that's called the ROAST model. And it's geared more for entrepreneurs and leaders in terms of a new way of doing business that takes care of not just ourselves, so it's not just personal, and not just the financials, not just the bottom line, but it's really thinking in terms of looking at our business and our success as it's related to everybody else, and to making sure that as we move forward with our success and our vision and our goals, that we're sort of taking care of other people, and we're making sure that our success is multiplied because of other people's success, and that we're doing it honestly and with integrity and caring for a sustainability as we're doing it. So, yeah.
You know
so
who puts that into place really well? There's this gal we both know, and her name's Deb Scott.
That's true.
Isn't that a Deb Scott thing if you've ever...
That is.
If you've ever met Deb, she puts that into place miraculously. She takes other people along for her success ride. I love that.
I think that's the secret today. I think it's about, and I think it's about really, if we want to succeed in business, and it's to me it's a new paradigm, but it really relates back to okay that sense of responsibility because that's also in my success model, my ROAST model. It's about knowing that if I'm just in business for myself and I don't care about my clients, I don't care about the people that work for me, I don't care about the consumers, I don't care about the planet, then my success is going to be short-lived. And the old model about, okay, I'm just going to forge ahead and I don't care whose feet I step on and I'm just for myself, that's out – that's outdated, and
it's so 80.
Right, and it really doesn't help us move forward in a way that enriches us, body, mind, and soul. And so I think that's very important. So I didn't want to talk about that today because I thought I wanted to make it more geared to what we could talk about because you didn't read the book. And
I agree. I think we have to have you on again, and then I think in the Motivation Marathon too, we can talk a little bit more about what the book is and all the things in it. We have a call, a question actually in the chat room about motivation. She says, put one up in the chat room about motivation. What if you can't get what if you're just unmotivated? You just can't get the spark lit. You just can't get going, let alone follow through. What do you do if you're just sort of like in limbo?
Maybe you need some support. Maybe you need to look at your support system and see if they can help motivate you. Maybe you need a coach. You know, the most successful people, use coaches. I have a mentor, and I love mentoring people. I think that's one of the keys to my own success is getting mentored and mentoring people and helping people move through their own, whether it's self-sabotage or not being motivated, because oftentimes we can't always be a cheerleader 24/7 to ourselves. But sometimes we need somebody that can help us get outside of ourselves, that could see our brilliance when we don't see ourselves shining at all, that can shine light on what we can do and sort of help motivate us in sort of a team effort. So sometimes it's very difficult to be self-motivating, but is there a friend, if you don't want a coach, is there a friend, is there a family member that can tell you how good you are, that can vocalize your strengths, that can in some way piggyback with you in terms of helping you achieve a goal? Right now, a lot in business and personal goals, people are pairing with other people, like what we're doing with Motivation Marathon and New Year, New You. It's all these wonderful people coming together to support one another as well as to support the people, the listeners, to help them grow and evolve and become better people and better in business and in their personal and professional life. So sometimes you need help, and it's okay to need help.
To that chat room, yeah, you might go to motivationmarathon.com and register. We have got like 45 plus speakers and experts, January 14th through the 22nd, all speaking on the topic of Happy New Year and creating your best life. And I was going to add to that and just say that sometimes when I feel unmotivated, what I do is I get out of my routine, and I don't know why I do this, but I do. I look for maybe I'll go searching on the internet for something that interests me but is different from my routine. Or
sometimes,
I don't know why I do that, but I do. I'll break up my routine a little bit to change, something if I feel a little bit in a rut.
Well,
same thing.
Yeah, that's really important, because if you do that, sometimes getting away, even just getting walking away from something for a while, you come back to it with fresh eyes and maybe new ideas. The other thing is take a look at what you've done. Take a look at some area in your life that you feel good about, something that you've done, because even if we're in the worst day, there has to be something that we've done that we feel that makes us feel good, and maybe highlight that. Oftentimes, I say to people, make a list of what you feel proud of that you've done, and it doesn't have to be today, but maybe what you've done a week ago, or a year ago, or several years ago. And if you can't do it, ask somebody who's close to you to tell you what you've done, to demonstrate how good you are to yourself, because oftentimes, again, we're our worst critics and we don't see that. But a friend would say, "Look what you did, and look, and I admire you for this or whatever." And sometimes that helps us feel good. We need support. We can't do it all by ourselves, and we need to feel good about ourselves. And if we need to reach out and have people, mentors, or friends, what's that?
Yep. We're out of time. We've got about 20 seconds left.
And you're going to be on my show,
reach out.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to have you on again because we could go, you know, another 2 hours of talking with you. But for now, before the show cuts off, I am going to say thank you to you for being with us for the hour. And visit drjoannewhite.com. Join us at the Motivation Marathon, January 14th through the 22nd, and visit us at besteveryou.com. Happy New Year, everyone, and thank you, Joanne White, for being our first guest of the new year. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Happy New Year.